Welcome back, everybody. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, Season 2. I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. I do remember covering a lot of life skills and stuff that people need to know in the last season, and I'm not quite done with covering all of those. Thanks to the sporadic time gap that we had because of school and other reasons, I couldn't actually keep up with more podcasts, and I do apologize for that, but I will pick up where I left off. I will cover more skills that people need to know. So starting us off with learning skills, before I go into all the different kinds of learning skills and the ones that actually exist that you need to know, I want to cover first off what is learning, because apparently there are a lot of people who don't know the difference. So we'll start with this, and I'm going to continuously make episodes on this topic for a little while. We're going to cover all the different kinds of learning skills, what learning is, learning approaches, learning styles, the different types of learning styles, understanding your preference to aid learning, lifelong learning, critical thinking skills I've already covered before, and critical thinking and fake news. And I'm going to go back and forth between that and study skills, because I do believe I didn't cover a lot of them, and I still keep getting some questions regarding certain things, so I'm going to go ahead and cover those as we go forward. Now, I will go ahead and stop right here and say, let me ask you this, as this is the preference of this channel and podcast, what is learning? You know, it's a lifelong question. A lot of people ask this. You know, I have to learn this, I have to learn that, but what is learning? I'll be honest with you right now, okay? Almost every action we take is the result of past learning, yet for some people, learning still remains an activity undertaken in or associated with an educational context. It doesn't have to be educational, okay? You can still learn even without education being a factor. I mean, as babies, we learn to eat, to gain attention, to crawl, to walk, etc. Things of that nature, you know? And we develop into children, and other bodies, you know, our bodies become more functional. We learn an inordinate range of skills, which you know because I've covered a lot of them, that we use in everyday, day-to-day life. Traditionally, you know, research and studies around learning primarily focus on the early years, learning through childhood and adolescence. But, you know, it's now recognized that learning is a continuous process that commences from the day you're born until the day you die. Apparently, if you're going to die, you have to learn how to die the right way. You know, it's a process through which we use our experience to learn, to deal with new situations, and to develop relationships. Sometimes lifetime relationships, you know, things like that can't be, they're not just given, you have to earn them, you know. And one of the things I definitely want to talk about in the next podcast is lifelong learning. Now, before we get into that, and it's definitely a topic that I want to cover, a lot of our learning occurs randomly throughout life, and for our experiences, our new experiences, gaining information from our perceptions, for example, reading a newspaper or watching a news broadcast, or talking with a friend or colleague, chance meetings, or unexpected experiences all help us grow and learn. So, keeping this in mind, many experiences in our life provide us with learning opportunities from which we can choose whether or not to learn. And this type of experimental learning is the contrast to more formal approaches to learning, such as training, mentoring, coaching, and teaching, all of which have some type of structure that they are planned learning involving some facilitator that set this whole thing up. Okay? And for some people, they believe it's God, some believe it's their teacher, some believe it's their parents. To each their own, whatever you believe is true. Okay? We'll take a short break here, and I'll pick up in a minute. And we're back with our topic of discussion that we were covering. Keeping this in mind, from where I left off, teaching, training, and other structured learning opportunities are all basically activities that one person does to another, while learning is something we can only do for ourselves. It involves far more thinking, and it's a whole, it's basically the essence of your whole personality. Your senses, your feelings, your intuitions, your beliefs, your values, your will. You know, that thing you use, that desire, that drive to move forward. If we do not have the will to learn, we will not learn. Plain as day. You know, and if we have learned, we are actually changed in some way, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally. And if the learning makes no difference, let me go ahead and say this, it makes no difference if you have very little significant change beyond being filled with random ideas that float through your consciousness, or having extravagant ideas that blast through the scars. It doesn't make a difference. At some point when you learn something, something about you changed. And learning needs to be, it needs to meet some personal need, or rather recognize and identify to have some sort of ability or need that enables us to evaluate whether the learning has been worthwhile or even successful in some ways. Plain and simple, learning occurs when we are able to, and I quote, gain a mental or physical grasp of the subject. 1. 2. Make sense of a subject, event, or feeling by interpreting it into our own words or actions. 3. Use our newly acquired ability or knowledge in conjunction with skills and understanding we already possess. And 4. Do something with the new knowledge or skills that we just got and take complete ownership of that skill. These are key points to know whether you've learned something and whether or not you can use it. Now, let me go ahead and cover the key principles of learning so you understand what I'm trying to say here. Okay? There are vast ranges of theories that attempt to explain and demonstrate the way that people learn, and such theories can often contrast with other, depending on the type of learning they describe. For example, traditional learning theories associated with children and adolescents engaged in schooling may differ from theories associated with adulting or adult learning, whichever you prefer. I can give you a short description of generic identities regarding the key principles associated with all types of learning and how they can be applied to group situations, as well as when learning alone or with a mentor, tutor, or trainer varies. Now, I should say that the list that I'm about to give is not, it's not the only one. It can go on and it can have more added to it depending on the person. However, you know, it's just here to help you understand some key concepts of learning. All right? First things first. People learn best when they are treated with respect and are not talked down to or treated as ignorant. Establishing ground rules at the start of a training session will typically reinforce this important principle. However, for training to be most effective and to involve full participation, the trainer should model such exemplar behavior himself. Or herself, depending on the person. Next, learning opportunities should, when applicable or possible, be linked to previous positive experience. And I mean, this actually means involving self-awareness on the part of the learner and understanding and empathy on the part of any facilitator, the person who basically does it. Learning can be blocked by negative experiences, so keep this in mind. Some people who hated school cannot bear the thought of being in a classroom situation, just to give an example. Next, when possible, you know, learners, people who are learning, should take part in the planning of learning activities. They should be part of the whole, you know, idea of doing this. Learners should be encouraged to be self-directed in terms of goal setting, since this is usually what improves commitment and motivation and increases participation on the learner's part. Facilitators should examine the expectations of the learner at the start of any course or session to help them and encourage them in their own self-direction. A lot of teachers don't do this, and they just force work upon a student and expect them to do it. It doesn't work that way. Yes, you have a set plan of stuff that you have to do, but you need to find a way to make it so that the students can learn it and actually want to do it, rather than, hey, this assignment's due by this time, do it and make sure you have it done, or you fail. That's real encouraging. Next, people learn best when their physical environment is usually comfortable. No, I'm not talking about your bedroom. In group situations, a positive and emotional supportive environment is almost always important. Individuals in a group tend to learn best when they can socialize and interact with each other in the group, and they have some common ground. Alienating a random person just because their hair is blue or because they talk different from you does not help. So, with that being said, those are just 4 of the items in my list. I'm going to take a short break here. I'll give the other 4, and then we'll go on to the packed learning cycle. Everybody, welcome back. Next thing I want to point out is that the interaction with the person in charge, the one doing it, the facilitator, is very vital. People need to be able to basically react, question, and voice opinions on whether they are learning or not. Generally, in group situation, quieter members should be gently encouraged for their input. Otherwise, you'll never know whether or not they actually get it. In some situations, they are typically the ones that learn the fastest, but in others, they could be the ones that feel the most outlandish from doing these activities, as they don't know anything. Next, learning activities or delivery of them need to be varied. They can't all be exactly the same. To cover a range of different learning styles and help the learners maintain interest and motivation, this is necessary. In a classroom setting, for example, including discussions on or other activities, especially some of problem solving as part of the lesson or lecture, will basically enable the learners, the people who are actually trying to learn, to interact and engage in the subject and feel like they're actually part of it. The next thing is instant rewards. They do help. I'm not saying you have to do this every single time, but people tend to learn best if the rewards and the results of learning are made clear and can be demonstrated during or immediately after the experience is done. With that being said, self-evaluation and reflective practice is definitely important. Learners should be encouraged to reflect on what they have learned and, you know, think about ways that they can further their knowledge. It's definitely something that a lot of people should know about, and I will go more into detail on reflective practice in another podcast, so please look forward to that. Now I want to talk about the thing that I use a lot myself. It's known as the packed learning cycle. Now, many attempts have been made by academics and others to basically explain the learning process. It is generally recognized that learning takes place in a repetitive cycle as an ongoing series of processes, as I mentioned before. Well, you can search this yourself. It's called the PACT cycle, P-A-C-T. It's relevant to all types of learning. P stands for procure, new knowledge, theory, or ability skills that are required. Apply is what the A stands for, meaning the new knowledge or skills is then practiced in some way. C, consider, the results of the practice are evaluated and or assessed. And T, transform, the original knowledge or ability is modified accordingly. This cycle starts at P and it goes continuously in cycle. Okay, the PAC cycle, it just basically helps demonstrate that learning is an iterative process. Our learning evolves as we develop, and we utilize early knowledge for later understanding. There are many examples of these processes in action, and one of them is definitely learning English or learning how to speak. Usually, we learn the basics of a subject or skill before progressing to intermediate, advanced, and ultimately expert-level devices. Each stage we build on the knowledge and experience we have already acquired, gaining further knowledge, experience, and or techniques while repeating the same learning cycle repeatedly. Okay? That is a lot to take in all at once, and I'm aware, and I'm so sorry that I covered all that information in a short burst. But like I said, I want to make sure I bring home what learning really is. And to do that, I'm going to make this segment a little shorter than I was going to. And on my next segment, after we take a short break, we'll cover learning capacity and we'll summarize everything we just went over and move forward from here. All right. So to finish off what we were talking about in the last segment, learning capacity. Okay. Our individual learning capacities varies considerably, and it will depend not only on the ability, but also the motivation of the personality of the person actually doing it. This stems into a person's learning style, and I will cover that in an upcoming podcast. It also refers to the awareness of our own learning processes, okay? Working on awareness of your own learning processes basically means learning how to learn, or rather, learning how you learn. For example, in university settings, students are usually taught some study skills, which include learning how to seek information when needed and how to use it appropriately. And this is one of those things that they do teach you. However, like I mentioned before, this is just one of many different study skills that people need or have to have, and are not always taught by various places. Some have to be sought out on your own. And if you don't know how to do research, no worries. I will go over that in a podcast in the future so you can know how to actually do this. Now, in summary of everything that we covered, learning is an internal activity and a key personal development skill. It's not something that can be directly observed in others. And we have to, however, remember that, you know, observe the results of learning in ourselves is very, very important. Very, very important. And this is why formal learning situations and assessments are very crucial in the teaching process. Without the assessments or the exams that we take to test whether or not we learned something, we don't know whether or not we truly learned it. And not all the time does it have to be an exam. It could be the use of that skill or that device that we have learned. The results of academic assessments, essays, exams, work processes, things of that nature, they're just simple attempts to measure how much an individual has learned, but it can never actually truly measure the actual process of learning that they have. Like I mentioned before, learning brings about changes in the way we act, think, or feel about ourselves and other people, as well as the world around us. Such changes may be permanent, some are temporary. It just depends on your own perception of the importance and relevance of the skill you have. It's much like learning how to cook or how to drive a car. We'll all learn how to do it, we all know how to do it once we've learned, but unless you utilize this skill more and more, it doesn't grow, it doesn't get better, and in some cases you will forget. However, keep in mind, this is something for a lot of people that they don't already know. There is this thing called muscle memory. Once your body has learned how to do something via muscle memory, you will always know how, whether mentally you don't remember. So always put in an effort to try, and when you learn something, to, you know, utilize it more to allow you to basically retain the information that you have. Now, we've covered what learning is and a lot of the things that come with it, and a lot of it should be probably common sense or common knowledge. But for a lot of people, they don't know this, and it's a shame that society doesn't teach it like it should. So with that being said, two topics I really do want to cover because it will help a lot of people out is learning approaches, ways to approach learning, and the different learning styles. Okay, there are different kinds of learning styles, and then there's eight types of learning styles, and I want to cover these in specific detail a little bit more later, because these are things that people need to know that they have forgotten that were long since taught in schools in the past, such as the behaviorist approach, the cognitive approach, and the humanist approach. Each one of these topics has something that's related to them, and it's something that is very important, as well as things that are necessary for moving forward in the future. So, with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. This is, again, Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, Season 2. My name is Neo Gentrix, I'm your host, and we'll catch you next time. Peace out.